Good morning. Whoop. You guys know what that means. That's the song we just sang is one that we'll sing to the kids at night when we're putting them down. So, you know, when it's bedtime, you know, it's time to wind down and quiet. So I'm used to singing that song pretty slow, like a nice little lullaby. So that time it was like we're marching to Zion and we're ready to go. But it's a great song. I love the imagery. Picks up so much of what John's writing about with eternal life. And so very fitting for what we're going to talk about again today. We want to continue some of the thoughts that we began last week regarding the idea of eternity, build on some of those thoughts. And I recognize several were out of town between the holiday weekend and different camps that were going on. So I want to repeat an illustration that I walked through last week. And if you'll notice, I did fix the coloration, so you're not just looking at a white sheet of paper again this time. But anyway, so we're going to begin with a vision test, and so we'll see if some of you who were here last week, if your vision's improved at all or not. But we're going to begin with a vision test, and so I want to see if everybody in the room can see the black dot in the middle of the screen. Can you see it? Just make sure you fix your eyes on it. Okay, I want us to see the black dot. Okay, so the image that you're looking at is eternity. All that ever was, all that ever will be, the glory of God, seeing his face, the radiance of his glory, his overwhelming beauty. The black dot in the middle of the screen, I promise there is a black dot there. Several asked me about that after last week, but there certainly is a black dot there. But the black dot that you're struggling to see is this world, the beginning of time to the end, the created universe, our life, our cares, our concerns, our interests, our suffering. What I'm wanting us to see, and what I'm trying to see personally, what I want us to rally around is the idea that we're so small in light of eternity. The cares of this world are so insignificant in light of eternity. But we rarely see this. We get so bogged down by this life. We become so consumed by this world. What happened to my friend? Let's see. So this is exactly a repeat of last week then, is what's going on. Let's see. All right, Elliot, let's see if we can make a connection and get this thing going. Welcome. Yeah. We'll wait for it. All right. Glory, eternity, dot, dot, dot. But this is what we do, right? We take that black dot and we expand, and we just get bogged down and we consume by the black dot where all we're seeing is what's going on right around us. And we get overwhelmed by that. And we lose sight on the proper perspective. We fail to look up. We fail to see our life on this earth in the proper perspective. And what we need to remember and recognize is eternity is by far the greater reality. Our life on this earth is just a minuscule dot in the scope of something far greater. But that truth shouldn't lead us to apathy or indifference or just a whatever attitude. What it should do is lead us to do everything with purpose. Everything with our eyes above. It should lead us to prioritize everything we do with eternity in view, should lead us to a radical, all-consuming devotion for God and His purposes. Because we're a part of something that's far greater. God's given us a blessing to share in something that's greater. And our choices and our priorities have eternal consequences. And so I'll ask the same question I asked last week. Do you have an eternal perspective? Are you living for eternity? I want to share again the quote, and our review will be done in just a moment, but I want to share again a quote I shared last week that really struck me. Reading a book, and an author had just made the comment as he's trying to structure his life and do everything for the Lord, and people, you know, think, man, this guy's crazy. Why is he living this kind of life? And he says this, he says, people accuse me of going overboard in preparing for my first 10 million years in eternity. In my opinion, people go overboard in worrying about their last 10 years on the earth. And I just think there's so much truth in that. We get, again, so consumed with this life and this world and preparing for our future here, we never look up, or we rarely look up and see what this is all about. what this is all for. We miss this. We give so much attention to this life and the world and rarely just stop to think about eternity. Tell me if you can relate to this struggle. But I think about God a lot, and I think a lot about what God wants. But I know for me personally, I don't think about God enough in connection with eternity. All that exists beyond this life, all that existed before, all that will continue on forever. I get so focused on this world. My plans, my purposes, my interests, and a lot of them are good things and godly things. And they all, but the problem is, they all revolve around accomplishments in this life. My aims rarely seem to get above the horizon line. I want to go to heaven, and I definitely don't want to go to hell, but I'll get there eventually. Get there eventually. There are just too many things to do right now, too many things I want to accomplish, too many enjoyable, satisfying things before I'm ready to give up this life and settle for plan B, heaven. But heaven's not plan B. Heaven is not a close second. But we just get so attached to this life, this world. Eternity is ultimately the only thing that matters. We've got to see that. Everything in this life is moving toward eternity, whether I see it or not. If I'm distracted by this fleeting life, I'm missing out on the only thing that matters. The only ultimate purpose and source of purpose. Paul understood this. Just listen to what Paul wrote while sitting in prison. He says, "I know this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayers and the provision of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, according to my earnest expectation and hope, that I will not be put to shame in anything, but with all boldness, Christ will even now, as always, be exalted in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. But if to live on in the flesh, this will mean fruitful labor for me, and I don't know which to choose." Can you hear? I don't know which to choose. "But I'm hard-pressed from both, having the desire to depart and be with Christ, for that is very much better. Yet to remain on in the flesh is more necessary for your sake. Convinced of this, I know that I will remain, continue with you for your prayers, your progress, and joy in the faith, so that your proud confidence in me may abound in Christ Jesus through my coming to you again." Can you say that? What Paul said? The first part, to live is Christ. Whether I'm alive or dead or whatever, this life is Christ. Can we say that? Can we talk about our commitment to Him with that level of boldness and truth? To die is gain. To depart and be with Christ is very much better. I think there are a lot of superlatives in the Greek, if I remember right there. I mean, he's emphasizing, this is so much better. I know, I don't think I'm there, just being truthful. And I know I need to be there. And I know that's a failure on my part and an inconsistency where I'm needing to see God's glory more front and center in my life. This is not home. Many don't want to die today because we've built for ourselves such good homes on this earth. While we're waiting on Jesus to return, we just fall in love with so many other things. And if Jesus would return, at least the way we think about it, we'd be a little sad. Be a little sad to give it up. But this is not home. We're here now on a brief mission for God. We're here to fulfill His eternal purpose, carry this good news to of His kingdom to others who are totally ignorant of who He is and this greater reality that we're all anticipating. But we tend to just live as if this is all that ever matters. And this is all that ever will be. You know, in some painful and difficult circumstances, it's easy to see I don't belong. But for the most part, we just get in this comfort zone and feel this sense of belonging and affection for the world. And it distracts us from God's eternal purposes. We make this world our home. We do the exact thing God told us not to do. We set down roots and we just love this passing world. He said, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that's in the world, the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes, the boastful pride of life, is not from the Father, but is from the world. The world is passing away, and so are its lusts. But the one who does the will of God lives forever. This is not my home. So we got to live like it. This is not my home. Let's live like it. But what does it look like? So last week we talked a lot about eternal perspective and just trying to see this, trying to recognize this reality, live with this perspective. But I want to spend a little bit of time today and just think about, okay, how does this translate into our day-to-day lives and some areas of my life that this should dramatically affect? The first I want to point out is, if my PowerPoint friend will work. There we go. First I want to point out is the idea of morality. Sin destroyed my relationship with God. So if we're thinking about eternity and thinking about God and He's our Creator, we are created for relationship with Him and created for Him and to serve Him. Sin destroyed my relationship with God. Sin destroyed my ability to serve Him and accomplish His purposes, and so His Son died for my sin. That's huge. And sin is weighty, and sin carries an intense weight that should wake us up. As my eternal perspective grows, so should my hatred of sin grow more and more. The more I look up, the more I see what this is all about, why would I like these things that damage my relationship with God? And frankly, the scriptures just say there are some things I cannot do and inherit God's kingdom. Paul writes about these a few times. You see in 1 Corinthians 6, he says, do you not know the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? He says, 1 Corinthians 6, verse 9. He goes on to say, do not be deceived. And he lists several things. And he says, they will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Galatians 5, the deeds of the flesh are evident. He goes on to list several things that would be these works of the flesh or deeds of the flesh. And he finishes that out by saying, those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. In Ephesians 5, this you know with certainty that no, and he goes on and lists several things, and he says, has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, kingdom of Christ and God? Again, recognize there are things that are just completely contradictory towards wanting to be with God, wanting to share eternity with Him and be a part of His eternal purposes. But sin's tempting. That's the reality. Sin is tempting. The enticement to sin can be overpowering. The desire to sin can be like this consuming fire within us. But we've got to remember that any pleasure that is associated with sin is so short-lived and so fleeting. And it's that long-term view that we've got to have. Peter writes, life is like a vapor, right? If life is like a vapor, what's the passing pleasure of sin, right? If our whole life is just like this vapor that's gone, like the grass that appears, the flower that dies and withers, what are these sins that we give into? Would I throw it all away for something that I can actually never possess? I mean, that's the pleasure of sin is so fleeting and we never get our hands on it. Would I throw it all away, throw the glory of God, the beauty of His face, all away for something that's so fleeting, so passing? That is foolishness in the truest sense. So let's do what's right. Let's pursue the character of Christ and let's live for eternity in that. Another thing we'll see here is the idea of relationships. Just let you flip that if you would, Elliot. The idea of relationships. In every relationship, we're to reflect the character of Christ. His character, His values. Jesus said in Mark 3, so he's doing some teaching and his family's coming up to him and interrupting the teaching, and there's this big crowd around, and he asks the question, who are my mother and my brothers? And he answers by saying, whoever does the will of God, he's my brother and sister and mother. Think about that. I mean, his biological family was right there, but at this point, they weren't in line with his mission. And what he's saying is, my real family are the people who are pursuing God's will. Does my life reflect that same value, that same priority? Do I treat God's people like family? Do I pursue relationship with God's people as the closest family? Well, what about other relationships in my life? These two should reflect the character of Christ. You read Ephesians, you read Colossians, you see the same thing in Peter. The same basic outline of the different relationships in our life. Husband, wife, parent, child, slave, master, translating that today, employee, employer. Peter even adds the governing rulers and the citizens in a nation. In each of these relationships, I reflect Christ. I'm to reflect Christ. If I'm in the position of authority, whether the husband or the parent or the employer, if I'm in the position of authority, I reflect the character of Christ in gentle, loving leadership, remembering that I have a master that I serve. If I'm in the position of subjection, I reflect the character of Christ in humble respect and subjection, as we saw him illustrate and exemplify in his own life. In all of this, I'm learning to be like Christ. In any part of this relationship, I'm learning to be like Christ, thus accomplishing, fulfilling God's eternal purposes. Remember Romans 8:29, that God's purpose is we be conformed to the image of His Son. And so I'm learning to be like Christ. In this, I'm showing Christ to a lost world. As they see Christ in me and the way I live my life and the way I interact with different ones, I'm showing Christ to the lost world. Again, fulfilling God's eternal purpose. So the question is, will I be ruled by pride and selfish ambition? Will those twisted, selfish characteristics define my life and define my relationships? Will I reject God's eternal purposes for my own small-minded self-interests? Or will I be ruled by Christ? Will His glory, His character define my relationships? Will I be conformed to His image? Will I reflect His image in this dark world in selfless love? Let's pursue the character of Christ. Let's pursue His character in all of our relationships. And so let's live for eternity in that. And there's another aspect of this that I think we see, and that's the idea of this message. One of the things you see multiple times, Jesus even said this, that He came to seek and save that which was lost. Paul wrote in 1 Timothy 1, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. You see His purpose. You see Him, a focus of His mission. And if I'm His disciple, if I'm His follower, if I'm trying to be like Him, I'm going to do the same. I'm going to care about the same. There's this message that the world desperately needs to hear. This powerful message that can save souls that this world needs to hear. Jesus is Lord, and the lost world desperately needs to obey Him. You look at the life of Jesus and you see He had a heart for the hurting. He had a heart for the lost. Jesus understood the eternal reality, the reality of heaven and hell. We recognize without Jesus, we would be lost. Without Jesus, I would be lost. Without Jesus, your closest friend, your family, your co-workers, your neighbors, the girl you see at the counter every morning at the coffee shop, the waitress you'll meet at lunch today, the cashier at the checkout line, all these people God puts in our lives we interact with over and over and over again. Without Jesus, they'll be lost. Do you believe that? What are you going to do about it? That's the challenge that we have. As I said in a recent lesson, I don't think that means we're called, every one of us are just called to sell all possessions, go live in a cardboard box in some third world country to share the gospel. But we recognize there are people in our lives. God has put people in our lives that we have an opportunity to build relationships with and interact with. They need this message. They need this good news of the kingdom that Jesus is Lord and they need to serve Him. And so do consider, who's God put in your life? Who around you needs the message? And let's start there. So let's get the message out there. Let's live for eternity. And let's help others live in eternity. And then the idea of love. Love. In all of it, whether we're talking about the sacrificial giving and family devotion that we see to one another, whether we're talking about the joyful and patient enduring of suffering, whether we're talking about the radical reversal of our values and our morals that we'd see as repentance and coming to Christ, whether we're talking about the kindness that we'd show to a complete stranger, the mercy we'd show to enemies. In all of these things, the common denominator, the common thread that runs throughout all is love. Is this again, radical, consuming love that we've learned from God that's exemplified in the cross, and that changes everything. It fills us up more and more, and it propels us forward, propels us forward to that glorious day again when we'll see God face to face. That's our hope. And so let's be filled up with God's love, and let's live for eternity in this. Let me say this. Don't live for the dot. I'm going to try and forward this. Don't live for the dot. It's hard because everyone around us lives for the black dot. Everyone around us, we're so tempted to love this world. We're so tempted to pursue our comfort as the most beloved achievement that we can get our hands wrapped around. Don't live for the dot. Live for eternity. Live for God. Do you want your life to matter? Do you want your life to have purpose, you want to fulfill your purpose, give absolutely everything that you have, everything you are, to God without holding back. Passage we read last week, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake, we'll find it. Think about that verse again. Whoever wishes to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit a man if he gains the whole world, and loses his own soul? What will a man give in exchange for his soul? My life now determines my life later. The way I live now determines my eternal fate. From the passage that Jason read for us earlier, we must all appear before the judgment seat of God, of Christ, so that each one may be recompensed for the things through the body according to what he's done, whether good or bad. If I'm consumed by this black dot now, I'll be immersed in outer darkness forever, separate from God for all eternity, living forever with the regret again of knowing that I had countless opportunities to serve Him and to turn to Him and to walk with Him, but I was just too weak and too short-sighted to turn to God. But if I live for the glory of God now, I will live in the glory of God forever. I'll see Him face to face. I'll join the myriads and myriads and thousands of thousands in the most exciting, amazing celebration and worship we could ever imagine, eternally praising God, our Savior, our Creator, who is holy beyond measure. And so two questions, and I sent this out in email for reflection, but two questions. What have you done this past week that matters in light of eternity? I think we need to think about that, because sometimes it's hard to really draw that connection from a lesson to just my life. But look at your life. Look at just the past week. What have you done that matters in light of eternity? What have you done this week where you'll see results in eternity? Now, hopefully, just based on the lesson, there's some things that you've done, whether it's your desire to do what's right, whether it's your relationships, whether it's interactions you've had where you had opportunity to share the gospel. Those things matter in eternity. Sometimes this really struck me last fall as we were going through Ephesians in the upstairs class. But you walk through that text, and that's a letter that's so focused on these high things, these eternal purposes. But then you see the way that ripples out in our lives, and what Paul emphasizes in chapters 4-6 is, live as a family, do what's right, focus on relationships, and let's walk with God. And it's these little things that reflect these eternal things. And so hopefully there are some things where you can look back at your week and say, okay, I've done some things that matter. I've done some things for eternity. But another question, what have you done this past week that will not be remembered in eternity? What have you done this past week that will end with this life? And I'm not talking about bad things necessarily, but sometimes, again, we get so consumed by this world and so stressed out and worried and concerned, and what we need to remember is these things don't matter. And so hopefully we can start to have that perspective. We need to have an eternal perspective. We need to live for eternity. We all have room to grow. I'm sure of that. Perhaps some need to repent, need to begin restructuring your life to begin seeking God's kingdom first. That's what Jesus said. Seek first His kingdom and His righteousness. That's the call for every disciple. And so if that's the case, I hope that the last couple lessons have stirred you on to repentance in that way. And I can't know the depths of your heart, but knowing you as I do, I think many here are living for God. And so I hope these lessons have encouraged you and just, if nothing else, just flamed the hope and brought it more and more in front of us so that we, again, just take that time to meditate on the beauty of God's face and how we long to see Him and be with Him forever. Let's go to God in prayer. Our Holy Father, You are so worthy of praise, honor, glory, dominion, majesty. You're worthy of everything. You're our Creator. You made us in Your image. You're our Savior, sending Your Son to die for us, to reconcile us back to You, that we could be Your children and call You our Father. Thank You for giving us the incredible blessing of being Your children, being Your servants, of being able to walk with You and worship You and live for You. Help us, Lord, to walk worthy of the amazing calling with which we've been called, to live with an eternal perspective and not to get consumed by this world, not to fall in love with this world, but to grow in our love for You more and more every day, and to truly desire to be with You, to be in Your presence, and to share in Your glory. Help us in our weakness. Stir us up to repentance where we need to change and grow. And may You be glorified in all things. In Jesus we pray. Amen. So I want to just end today with the thought, if you were to die today, what would happen to you? I mean, that's something we probably don't like to think about very often, but those that have known tragedy and loss of loved ones, it can just happen so fast. If you were to die today, what would happen to you? Would you stand before God as His beloved child? Would you fall before Him in opposition as an enemy? So what are you going to do about it? What's holding you back? I mean, there's sometimes for whatever reason, we know what's right. We know what we need to do. We recognize, okay, here's something that God's giving me and blessing me with that I can take a hold of. And for whatever reason, we just don't act. Let's act. Let's respond to God and His overwhelming grace that He's showered on us and poured on us. Let's live lives of joy, rejoicing in the hope, longing to be with Him forever and being able to stand in His presence and see Him face to face. If you're not in Christ and you're ready to walk with Him, we'd love to baptize you today so your sins can be washed away. You can walk, raise to walk in newness of life and live as a disciple of Christ. And if you're struggling in any way and you need our prayers, we'd love to pray with you and pray for you and help you. Please come forward as we stand and sing.